Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Andy Shea. Ross Tucker will be along for quarter number two and quarter number three coming up shortly. But first, Andy, you ready to talk some Penn State news?
Let's do it, Jimmy. I am ready.
All right, let's start with this. James Franklin met the media Wednesday of this week. And surprise, surprise, the topic was NIL. And it seems like James Franklin is always lobbying for something, whether it's better facilities, more money for his coaches and himself. Now, this year, the topic is NIL, and he seemed to be responding. Well, he was asked about it, to be fair. The media, rightfully so, was asking about Ryan Day came out last week and mentioned that his team needed $13 million just to keep his team intact. In other words, to keep other teams from raiding his roster. When James Franklin was asked about it, he said they would need at least as much as the other teams are raising. What's your take on James Franklin's response to NIL?
Well, in some respects, he's not wrong. This is not a, you know, develop a plan in 18 months and then execute it the next 18 months. One of the things terms he used was, you know, this was yesterday. We need to be, you know, this is happening. And I don't know if it's yesterday, but I definitely think it's here and now. And the money part of it is the big picture. I think where James' passion in this comes from and the sort of, you know, the evaluation that he was making and when he was talking to the media, and you could see he was like, you know, he had some passion and he was, you know, a little bit fired up, was, you know, recruiting is his strength and he is very keenly aware of the shifts in college football, particularly when they impact recruiting. And he's not wrong that NIL is having a yesterday impact on recruiting. Overall, I don't know if it's an all yesterday thing. I think some of it is here today. But generally speaking, James is not wrong. And the money in college football, we've known it has always been through the roof. And this shouldn't be unexpected. This is a new addition to college football that's a revenue stream. Of course, the money's going to be through the roof. College football is a money-making machine. And James is right. I'm sorry. He's not 100% right, in my opinion, but James is very keenly aware and has a good feel for what's going on, and he's not far off, I'll tell you that, Jimmy.
Well, let's talk about this and where Penn State fits in this world. We hear stories of, you know, the oil guys at Texas and Texas A&M. The rumor is that there was a big-time quarterback that was given or promised $8 million to go to Tennessee. So that's what you're competing against, and some of it, I think, is going to be based on the attitude of the fan base and the alumni and the donors. And let me read you one of the questions we received from one of our listeners. I'm just going to read you his first sentence. Being a traditionalist, almost nothing gets my blood boiling more than stories about school supporters allegedly offering $8 million to a high school quarterback to come play for their school. Now, does Penn State have a problem with the mindset at Penn State? And a mindset of, we're traditionalists, we kind of like tied to the old ways of doing things, and this newfangled NIL thing, we don't like it, so we're not going to go down that path.
I will say, listen, for Penn State fans, listen to the voice of your coach if you are, and they generally are a more traditional you know, fan base. But I think if you listen to your coach from yesterday, his words are, this is no long haul. It needs to be now. College football has changed probably more in the last 5 years than it has in maybe the previous 20. That is accurate. NIL is not long haul. Traditionalist and patience and time is going to lose in this sprint. This is not a marathon. Name, image, and likeness and the impact it's having on college football. We're seeing it, Jimmy. It's a sprint. It is not a long haul. So it can boil your blood, but it also can send you into a really fast spiral that produces mediocrity on a season-over-season basis faster than you might think.
What I believe the Penn State fan base and specifically big donors have to realize is this is now the reality of college football. Like it or not, it is the reality, and it is the arms race. I find it interesting, you know, where I'll disagree with James Franklin about it being a yesterday story, in that yesterday the 22 recruiting class from James Franklin was one of his best ever, okay? NIL or not. So far, class of 23 looks pretty good also. So he has been able to recruit in this environment, but NIL is going to steadily become more of an issue. And I'm not positive of this. I'm not sure we'll ever get the facts on this. But Rodney Gallagher was a major recruit Penn State was after, and he was a Pennsylvania recruit out of the Pittsburgh area. He chose West Virginia, and the word was, even well before his commitment, that NIL would be a big part of his decision. So is that the first case where we have Penn State losing out on a recruit because of NIL?
I don't think it was completely NIL. I'm not going to say that. I think that's a step too far for me right now. I think geography did play a big role, but I also think NIL played a big role as well. But I don't put it as a solo loss on that front. But it was a factor. It was 100% a factor, and he made it known. He was not... It wasn't like a, you know, behind cloak and dagger doors, Wizard of Oz type thing. He made it known that, you know, name, image, and likeness was an important component for him. I wouldn't say solely. You could go there, Jimmy, because you're the Penn State fan, and you should go there. And I love that. And it probably was a major reason. I'm not saying it's the only reason. My point is, it's probably not the only reason.
And you're probably right. I don't think NIL will ever be the only reason. However, when, you know, the quarterback who allegedly is committed to Tennessee and getting an $8 million NIL commitment, you know what? This may have been a player who never gave Tennessee a second thought, but I would imagine any player in the country, in fact, I'll say any person in the country, who was offered $8 million, all of a sudden Tennessee would look very good. I suspect, Andy, if you were all of a sudden offered a job in Tennessee that was offering you $8 million, you'd consider Tennessee. So
you're not wrong. I don't. You're not wrong, sir.
I don't have a problem with these kids, you know, doing that, because just think in your own situation. If you were offered another job somewhere else for $8 million, it's going to be tempting. So before you are critical of the of players, remember that. Put yourself in their shoes. A couple other quick notes. We're talking wide receiver recruit with Rodney Gallagher. Penn State put out a new offer recently. Interesting player, Yazid Haynes. He's from Lansdale, North Penn High School in Pennsylvania. That's outside of Philadelphia. 6'1", 170-pound recruit who previously had been committed to Rutgers, but his recruitment has been blown up, going to several camps. In fact, earlier this week, Richie Snyderwright, our recruiting guy from Rivals, he predicted Haynes would be committing to Penn State soon. It appears to be not a bad consolation prize after losing out on Gallagher, Andy.
So, yeah, Gallagher, Haynes committed to Rutgers, right, and then decommitted from Rutgers. And then Penn State offered him, like, in short order, right? And it's probably what he was looking for and what he wanted originally, but he was going to take what he could get. He fits the mold of a, you know, he's fast, right? Like, he's fast. He's not overtly big. And Penn State has done exceedingly well with those receivers in the last, you know, 3 to 5 years, right? They've done exceedingly well with those receivers. Then shortly after Penn State offers, he's on camp. Now he has an official visit lined up. Remember, I will just say this about him, and your recruiting guy at Ravels is probably right. Geography, right? North Penn, Philadelphia area, Rutgers geography, Penn State geography. Minnesota's also in the mix, and I think there's a little more opportunity at Minnesota because they are ridiculously thin at the wide receiver position roster-wise there now. Penn State has a much more robust wide receiver roster. Geography, geography, geography. So I think another speedy, not as quite as big wide receiver, Penn State's developing him. And it seems like he wanted to go there all along.
It does, and hopefully we'll be seeing a commitment there, perhaps even in the next few days, Andy, as he comes in for his official visit. I believe it's this weekend. One final note for you, because I know you're a big fan. Damian Robinson, the former five-star recruit out of high school in Maryland, who went to Maryland initially, entered the transfer portal, is moving to Penn State, position of need at defensive end. Andy, that was a big get for Penn State. That's filling a hole.
I'm just going to say this, Jimmy. Based on what has been put on tape by each of these guys at Penn State, you've got the DNs, you've got Robinson, Nick Tarburton, Isaac, and Smith Vilbert. What is on tape? Robinson, in my opinion, he's immediately defensive one among this group. Immediately. Like, he's on campus now, he's the best defensive end they have.
And obviously, as you mentioned, that's a place where depth is an issue at the very least. I think part of that two-deep rotation, that's the minimal we expect from him, and he could be the next outstanding. The one thing, for those who want Arnold Ibikiti, remember, Ibikiti was probably close to finished product when he got to Penn State. Robinson might take a little longer to get there. That is it for quarter number one. Stick around. Ross is showing up for quarter number two.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
What defines the special spirit of Penn State? Why Penn State, by author Greg Woodman, looks to Happy Valley in the 1980s for answers. Featuring rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews with Coach Paterno, this beautiful 256-page full-color hardback edition explores the why behind We Are. It's chicken soup for the Nittany Lion's soul and makes the perfect gift for any Penn Stater in your life, including you. Order today at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results, located right here in State College. Whether it's workstation, server, and network installation, problem solving and maintenance, security assessments, or general evaluations, we are your complete IT partner. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or call us at 814-206-0000.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number two. That means we welcome back in Ross Tucker. Ross, how you doing today, my friend?
I am doing awesome, Jim. How about yourself? Always good to talk a little Penn State football. Always good to talk a little D-tackles. And I'm excited, by the way, very excited for our Ask Ross segment today as well.
That's right. It's going to be a little bit different, but I think y'all will enjoy it. By the way, Ross, I just got to mention this. Every week, I know it's a habit, I ask, how are you doing today? I love the fact that you're always awesome. I love that.
You know what? I really am. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. Like, but if people say the same thing about the Ross Tucker football podcast, they're like, how are you always in a good mood? I'm not always in a good mood, but I'm a generally, Jim, you've known me for a long time now. Like, I'm a generally happy person. I don't know. I don't know how else to be. It doesn't seem like it'd be fun to be any other way, to be honest with you.
Well, let's face it. It's not like we're, it's hard labor what we're doing here. We get a chance to talk football, Ross. So, you know what? I'm awesome, too, because I get to talk football and I get to talk football with you. So, let's get to it. We're doing your scouting report of the Class of 22. And I know I say this also every week. It seems like we always have interesting players. I love this Class of 22. This week, we're going to do a couple defensive tackles, and let's start with Caleb Artis, however you want to pronounce it. He's a 6'4", 290-pound defensive tackle from Queens, New York. Ross, what did you see from Caleb?
You know what's funny, by the way? I did not realize when I was watching Caleb's video that he was from Queens. I could tell you it's not very good competition. I could tell that. I didn't know if it was Long Island. I didn't know. I thought I saw where he was from St. Francis High School, and there's a St. Francis in Buffalo. So I thought maybe it was Western New York. But now that I see it's Queens, that makes some sense to me. A little more sense, because typically the guys that are from New York City, they're just a little more raw, Jim. You know, it's like the coaching isn't quite the same, probably. You know, they probably didn't start playing as early. You know, here's what jumped out to me about Caleb. He has elite size. Elite. I mean, he is a big dude. I don't know. What do you say he's listed at?
He's listed at 6'4". 290.
Yeah, I mean, he was clearly the biggest dude on the field in the games he was playing in. I mean, clearly. 6'4", 290 for a high school D tackle is a big, big boy. So he has elite size, and I would say size potential, meaning I think he could get up to, Jim, 320, 330, right? I think he could be like an Austin Johnson body type. Remember Austin Johnson? I think he could be that type of big D tackle. And I would say this. He moves well. Moves well for his size. He finishes plays with effort. So he's constantly trying to make the tackle and finish plays. And then he does a nice job running and chasing to get in on the play. So, you know, when you're taking a kid like this, it's because of the potential. And he's big, he moves well, and he shows effort. He cares. He gives a you-know-what. Believe it or not, there are big guys that they don't always have their motor running or they don't move well. So I think that's why Penn State took him, right? Really big kid who's raw, who moves well, and plays with legitimate effort. I thought he did a nice job disengaging from blocks to make tackles along the line of scrimmage, right? So he's got one guy on him, two guys on him. He sheds them, throws him out of the way, makes a tackle. So I thought that was good. I did not see a lot of explosiveness out of his snap, out of his stance. You know, I didn't see the get off that I want. I want to see that juice. I want to see that explosiveness and that get off out of his stance. Didn't really see any pass rush. And maybe it's just what he chose to put on his video. Maybe they don't play against very many teams that throw the ball. Didn't see a lot of pass rush. Right now, he projects as a run-stuffing nose tackle only right now. Now, maybe it's because he's raw. Maybe there's more there than I saw. But that's what he showed to me. I think if he was more explosive or showed more pass rush, he's probably a five-star guy at that size, right? I mean, that's what five-star guys are like. I gave him a 7.5, you know, which is one of the lower grades that I've given out this class. But, you know, him knowing now that he's from Queens makes me feel a little bit better about it. But he's definitely a very specific type of player.
Does it make it more difficult scouting when there's lesser competition like that, Ross?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does. I think the better the competition, the easier it is to evaluate. Because you're watching them go against other Division I prospects, other college football players. The worse the competition, the harder it is to evaluate. Ultimately, though, and we've talked about this for years, Jim, they're really recruiting bodies, right? It really is. 90% of it is height, weight, speed. Like 90% of it. The other 10% is going to be effort and how they use their hands, instincts, ability, but it's really bodies more than anything else.
That's an interesting segue into our next guy, Ross, Zane Durant, also defensive tackle. He's gotten a lot of praise, high marks coming out of high school, and he was one of the early enrollees. So he's at Penn State for the spring. A lot of compliments, but you're talking about body size, body type for a defensive tackle. He's only 6'1" and only 255. So, but he was still very highly regarded.
Yeah. He's impressive. He's really, really impressive. He has a squatty, powerful build, and he uses it well. In other words, he knows what he is. He knows what he's not. He's not long. He's not overly tall. But he's got that squatty, powerful build. And because of it, he has excellent lateral agility versus both the run and the pass. It's almost like, remember Saquon Barkley? He had those huge quads, and it made it so that Saquon was really able to jump cut so easily, where it's like he was one place, and all of a sudden it would just like he would pop with his legs and go 5 feet to the right or 5 feet to the left. That's what Zane Durant reminds me of against both the run and the pass, but especially the pass. It's like he's, because his legs are so thick and powerful, it's like he's got this tremendous lateral agility. He shows really good hand usage on both inside and outside moves, rushing the passer. So, I don't know if it's quite as good as Dennis Sutton's hand usage, but it's pretty good. I mean, Dennis Sutton is 6'5", 253. Zane Durant, 6'1", 255. So think about it. You know, I bet you some of you guys listening are 6'1". I bet you're not 255. And if you are, I bet it's not like Zane Durant's 255. I mean, This guy is a brick, you know what, house. Really, really enjoy watching him play. Because even against the run, right, he explodes into and sheds blockers against the run. Just explode into them. It's interesting, Jim. I'm so glad we do like one position at a time, kind of. He and Caleb Artis are polar opposites. Caleb Artis is like your classic nose tackle that plays over the center like a Robert Windsor, you know, that is taking on double teams and trying to hold the point of attack and trying to make tackles along the line of scrimmage. Zane Durant is your classic three technique, which is the defensive tackle between the guard and the tackle, who's looking to hit that gap hard, looking to get upfield, looking to wreak havoc. I would say he has good but not elite get off, but excellent closing speed. Let's put it this way. He's 6'1", 255, and they hand him the ball sometimes. I mean, he's a running back sometimes where he, you know, he has got like a long touchdown run. He very much has an Aaron Donald, who's been the best player in the NFL the last 5 years, Kevin Givens, former Penn State player, body type. Very, very much has their type of body and their style of play. I don't know if I'm allowed to say ASS, so I will just say this dude is a butt kicker.
We could let you say it, Ross. It's okay. At 6'1", 255, is he a guy who could play right away? Are we going to see him in 2022?
Yeah, I think we are. I think we can. And I think it's because of what they'll ask him to do, right? Now, he's going to, you know, spring ball, training camp, going against some double teams, that'll be a little bit different for him. But because of his unique ability to play low, and what they're going to ask him to do, I can certainly see him, Jim, especially playing situationally as an inside rusher on obvious passing downs. You know, I can see a situational role for him to start.
Give us his grade.
8.8. High.
Very high. Okay, Ross, that's it for quarter number two. Stick around. Quarter number three, we have a special edition of Ask Ross.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State-Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
In his book, Why Penn State, author Greg Woodman takes readers on a trip back in time to Happy Valley in the 1980s, a unique era of gridiron success and rapid expansion that gave our university its modern identity. Whether you're traveling down memory lane or discovering Old State's past for the first time, this compilation of rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews helps you explore the why behind We Are. Start your journey today. Order online at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results. Located right here in State College, we specialize in providing assistance with many third-party software suites. Our clients include doctor's offices, lawyers, construction companies, and even hairdressers. We provide help with their industry-specific software. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or give us a call at 814-206-0000.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Ross Tucker. It's quarter number three. That means it's time for Ask Ross. This is where we take your questions for Ross. Best question wins the KSN Polo. If you want to submit a question for Ross, just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Ross button there. Ross, we've both been teasing a special edition of Ask Ross this week, and let me explain what happened. Last week, we were doing questions, and sometimes I get caught in between. Do we have time enough for a last question? The last question I tried to sneak in, not only was it a question you don't want to sneak in, it was a question on a topic that you and I both want to discuss. So let's go back to that question. It came from Tony in Philadelphia, and it's going to be the one issue we're going to deal with. So I guess what? I think Tony's going to be our default winner when this is said and done. Don't let that stop you from sending in questions for next week, though. So, Ross, here we go. This is what Tony asked us last week. Being a traditionalist, almost nothing gets my blood boiling more than stories about school supporters allegedly offering $8 million to a high school quarterback to come play for their school. Because we know football is a true team sport, quarterbacks are only as good as their offensive line, receivers, and running backs. If you were NCAA commissioner, would you require all NIL money be equally divided among all players on the roster? Do you think this might end some of the potential problems that NIL will present? Before you respond, now this is Jim talking, not Tony. Just the nature of NIL, splitting it up equally is just not going to be realistic. That's not how it's going to happen. And by the way, that alleged $8 million for a quarterback, I believe that's what happened at Tennessee. So, Ross, let's hear your take on NIL.
Yeah, so I want to address the first part of it because you didn't read last week the second part. Well, actually, I'm going to take a step back. First of all, I love this segment. I love when you guys send questions. Please send them. It's on the app, right, Jim? Or how else can they send questions?
You could also send it to us directly through email, info@ksnsports.net.
Yeah, I love when you guys ask me questions, so please keep them coming. Secondly, last week when we did this, Jim, it's interesting because you just mentioned the traditionalist part of it. And I thought the question, so there's kind of two parts of this. I thought the question was more like a comment, which was, I don't really like NIL. All this money, it's getting my blood boiling. I'm a traditionalist. To which I would say, I am a traditionalist as well. I think everybody looks back on earlier times in their lives and with fondly, right? Like, I like, Jim, the 80s. You know, I liked when Penn State played Pitt and Notre Dame and West Virginia and won national championships every 4 years, too. Or at least was playing for them. So I am a traditionalist as well, Tony. What I would say to you, though, and I think this is really important, for anyone that doesn't like that the players are getting paid now or that they're getting money now, you're talking to a guy that played in the NFL 21 years ago. I can assure you that a good amount of college football players have been getting paid forever, essentially, and definitely in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. I mean, I've talked to them. Everybody knows the SMU stories. I've talked to guys that I played with. I mean, Mississippi State and Auburn. And I mean, I've heard lots of stories, okay? So what you have to understand, first of all, is that players were already getting paid. Secondly, and I feel really strongly about this, you know, there's a lot of guys that never make the NFL. there's a lot of guys that have injuries in college and never go further, or they're great college players, but they're not good enough for the NFL. Previously, if you were someone that wanted to make your team have a better football team, right? You really cared about Penn State football. What would you do? You would donate a lot of money to Penn State football department so that they would hire more back office coaches, or they'd get, you know, a video game console in the locker for each player, or you would pay your head coach more. Now it's like $8, $9 million a year. In other words, for eternity, people that wanted a better football team have given money to help make that happen. It just used to go to facilities and coaches and things like that. To which I would submit, Jim, and I'd like your feedback, isn't it a more worthy cause to go to the players? Like, none of us really get to see the fancy locker room, and who cares? You know, why are they putting so much money, millions of dollars, into making the weight room even bigger, or the locker room even fancier, or the stadium? I mean, or these coaches, they really need to be making $10 million a year? I like, frankly, Jim, I like the fact that money is going to go to these players now. I like the fact that if you're a Penn State fan or any team and you want to contribute, you want to help your program have a better team, I like the fact that you can give the money to the player. And quite frankly, not only just give the money to the player, but you can give the money to the player and promote your business. Promote what you want if you want to. You can have the player promote your business in Central PA or Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, wherever you are, state, I don't care, Philly, Reading. You can have them promote your business while also putting the money in the pockets or bank accounts, savings accounts, of the young men you actually watch every Saturday. Honestly, Jim, I think it's awkward right now. It's new, combined with the transfer portal. It's a lot of change at one time. But Jim, ultimately, it's better. I mean, I feel strongly I'd rather have the young men putting their bodies on the line, getting the money, than hire five more coaches that none of us have ever heard of or know what they do, or, you know, anything fancy for the locker room.
Real quick, Ross, a couple thoughts on this. I've always used the analogy to free agency in professional sports. When that first came out, people went crazy. It'll be the ruination of the sport. Well, guess what? It came, dust settled. We have free agency. I think of Major League Baseball first. People thought it would be the ruination of baseball. It wasn't. Kind of the same thing here. But one of the questions that's coming up is, and I want to get your take on it, we had the incident where the Pitt wide receiver ended up going to USC. USC says, oh, there was no tampering, but the kid went to the highest bidder. What do you feel about that? And Ryan Day recently came out, and he advocated at Ohio State that they need $13 million to keep their team intact, meaning he's got good players that other schools will try to take away from them, drawing them with money. What are your thoughts on that?
It's really interesting. First of all, it's supposed to be illegal for the other schools to be trying to entice his current roster to come to their school. Secondly, any comments like this, he's really just talking to his boosters and really just trying to get them to pony up. But one of the issues for college football is there's no salary cap. And I think he's realizing we need at least $13 million to keep these guys. Now, I don't know that I think that that's necessarily true. And I don't really believe that that many collectives are going after Ohio State players. I don't think that they're actually going after CJ Stroud right now and trying to get him to transfer. But I do think that there is some truth to this. There is some truth, Jim, to the very real fear that college coaches have, because I speak to them, that if you've got talented players on your roster that aren't getting NIL money, you are vulnerable. You are ripe for attack. And so I think that's why all of these programs, they're all scrambling to do whatever they can to, I think, first and foremost, take care of their guys. But ultimately, Ryan Day also kind of laid out what the dollar amount is for recruits, too. What's the difference, right? I mean, he can't say that's for recruits. He has to say it's for the guys already on Ohio State's roster. But it's really for – and by the way, none of this is how it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be money for their name, image, and likeness. He didn't even say their name. He just said a pass rusher's $1 million, a elite left tackle's $1 million, a quarterback's $2 million. Frankly, I'm surprised that a quarterback's only $2 million if a left tackle's $1 million. That's interesting to me. The point I want to make about Tony, too, that I didn't hit on, about everybody getting equal, that's an interesting thought, Tony. Very interesting thought, which would be, okay, there is no, you don't do a deal with a specific player. You put money into a pool and they split it evenly. The issue with that is that's absolutely against NIL. And so how do you decide who actually does the events? You can't have every guy on the team getting $10,000 and yet every appearance you want Sean Clifford to be there. You know what I mean? Like, people, it's supposed to be that people are paying for what they believe they'll get in return. And so it doesn't make sense that guys you've never heard of make as much money as, you know, a star player like Joey Porter Jr. or Jahan Dotson or whatever.
And the fact is, James Franklin was quoted also as saying he hopes that there's at least a minimal, like a base that every player would get, and then, of course, more afterwards. We'll see how it all shakes out. Ross, that was a good segment. I think we've got a winner. I think it's Tony. All right, Ross, very good. We're going to have Andy Shea back in here for quarter number four. Stick around for that.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State-Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
What defines the special spirit of Penn State? Why Penn State, by author Greg Woodman, looks to Happy Valley in the 1980s for answers. Featuring rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews with Coach Paterno, this beautiful 256-page full-color hardback edition explores the why behind We Are. It's chicken soup for the Nittany Lion's soul and makes the perfect gift for any Penn Stater in your life, including you. Order today at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results, located right here in State College. Whether it's workstation, server and network installation, problem solving and maintenance, security assessments, or general evaluations, we are your complete IT partner. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or call us at 814-206-0000.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante, back in the house, Andrew P. Shea. Andy, I'll tell you what, we just finished our Ask Ross segment, and when you take one question, that narrows down the winner, doesn't it?
It must have been a doozy for Ross to roll on for about, 10 or 11 minutes, 11 and a half minutes or so on one question. Congratulations to the winner of the one question, right? Must have been a good one. Was it, Jimmy? Was it really good?
Well, full disclosure, the question actually came in last week. It was one of those I tried to sneak in last minute, and it was about NIL.
Oh, okay.
So okay. If... Ross said, hey, I'd really like to dive into this more. We decided we would do the segment with it, and we used that question as our springboard to talk NIL. So anyway, let's move on.
Sure.
Andy, you and I are going to begin our series, and what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the Penn State roster by position. And in many ways, this is probably the best way to look at things. If you look at a single player by single player in isolation, you're not answering all the questions because it's, well, you know what? The Drew Aller conversation would be a whole lot different if Sean Clifford had chosen to move on.
Correct.
It'd be a whole lot different if Christian Vaiu weren't around. So we're going to look at things by position, see what the depth looks like, and go from there. And I always, in these series, I always start on offense. I typically start then with quarterbacks, that type of thing. Let's go in reverse order, Andy. Let's start on the defensive side. And not only that, let's start at the back end of the defense.
Sure.
Let's talk about the secondary. Let's talk cornerbacks and safeties. Before we get into the individual positions and players, just an overview from you on this position, which has done pretty well over the last few years.
Two NFL draft picks lost, and in my opinion, one at each position, one at corner, one at safety, Tariq Castro Fields at corner, and
Brisker.
Yeah, Jaquan Brisker at safety. Thank you, Jimmy. 50-something moment at safety. And I still think this is the single strongest position group on Penn State's roster in terms of front end talent, depth, tools in the toolbox, potential next-level players, guys who have already, cut their teeth and shown what they can do. I really honestly believe this is the deepest single position group on Penn State's roster.
And I agree. A lot of talent there. And as you said, two out of the four starters gone to the NFL, and you say to yourself, I think they could be better this season than they were a year ago.
I agree.
Now, part of that is who are the players then stepping up? Now, Tariq Castro Fields was the cornerback who left. Let's start with cornerbacks.
Sure.
Joey Porter is a returning starter, and I don't think there's any doubt he's got all the physical tools in the world. And the presumptive second starter would be Kalen King, who came in last year as a true freshman with a lot of fanfare. And I don't think it's a stretch, Andy, to say I think Kalen King will have a better year than Tariq Castro Fields did last year, and that Joey Porter will be a better version of himself than he was a year ago.
It's not a stretch, Jimmy. I'm not sure. I'm not with you on that apple cart, but it's not a stretch. It's not a stretch. It's not even a far stretch. Kalen King is, what I call homegrown talent. In other words, he was recruited by Penn State. He's been developed by Penn State. You know, he's not a transfer. He hasn't done any position changes. And he's ready, right? Like, he's absolutely ready. I think in a pinch, if Tariq Castro-Fields gets another injury last year, like he had been wanting to do and was missing a good chunk of the season, I'm not so sure Kalen King wouldn't have been the first guy in there. So, yeah, I think they've got, at the cornerback position, they've got four guys that you have to focus on, because if you say, wow, you got four corners, and I think they have four corners. Not only do they have four corners, they have four corners that can play and four corners that can probably start, right? Joey Porter Jr., obvious. This is going to be his third year as a starter. He's got 20-something starts under his belt. Kalen King is only a second-year player, so can't hit. But his experience as a first-year player, invaluable. Johnny Dixon and Marquise Wilson are the other two corners, in my opinion, that, you know, are relevant. And the thing about Johnny Dixon is he's a transfer from South Carolina. In 2 years at South Carolina, he appeared in 22 games and had 9 starts. He had an interception in his first career start in 2019 as a true freshman. He's played in the SEC. He's got seat time. That is invaluable. And Marquise Wilson, he appeared in 10 games as a true freshman in 2019, and then he made 2 starts in 2020. So they have a little bit of everything that you want in those four guys. Mix and match how you want. I mean, Joey Porter Jr. is a rock on that corner, and he is going to be better. Mix and match how you want. You got four guys that can play and four guys that can start. Invaluable. That's just my 2 cents.
The quick note, I think, on Marquise Wilson is last year they moved him to a dual side where he could be also wide receiver. There's more depth, I think, at wide receiver this year. I don't think it's necessary for him to do that. Hopefully that means he will focus on cornerback. The name that wasn't mentioned, and you probably have to list him as pretty much a starter also, and that's Daquan Hardy, who was the slot cornerback. And as listeners of the show will know, one of my favorite players. I think he does a great job. Has to be looked at essentially as a starter also, and does a wonderful job.
So I put the nickel as a separate position. That's just tomato, tomato, potato, potato, right? Like, so he has emerged as a stud in the starting role that they want him to play. Now, is the nickel a quote-unquote starter? No. But when Penn State goes 4-2-5, Daquan Hardy is on the field. Last year, he took over that role. He was exceptional. I mean, he emerged early, and then he just kept building. 2 interceptions, 7 pass breakups. This is a limited role, mind you. Nickel is a somewhat limited role. He had a pick 6. My favorite thing is he had 16 tackles. 11 of them were solo. It is so important for your nickel to sort of be a tackling badger in space. And he was, and he is, and he's only going to get better. He is a weapon for Penn State in the secondary in his role as the nickel. And I thank you for saying that. Like, it's not technically a starter, but Daquan Hardy is a starter. And I love him. I remember when Ross would talk about in recruiting, like, I have no idea where Daquan Hardy is going to. Remember when he said Daquan Hardy is going to play in a college field. But wherever he plays, I just think he's going to do something special.
All right, let's move to the safety position. And it seems like the casting for these safety positions, you play like the secondary role, then you move up to the star. We saw it with previous cases. This year's version is Jair Brown. Is he this year's version of Brisker? Begins a role on the team. Does better than what people think, then emerges in his final year as a star.
I don't know, Jimmy. Yes, you are 100% right. But was Jair Brown, now he's playing next to a second-round NFL draft pick, right? So he's the second guy. 13 games, 6 interceptions, 73 tackles. That's pretty much a star-type role numbers, if you ask me. And he was doing it next to a second-round NFL draft pick. Now, he has to emerge as the guy. There has to be a leadership element. There has to be he has to see the game differently a little bit than everybody else because of that he excelled so well at it last year. But I think he was one of the three players for Penn State in 2021 that emerged as potential superstars moving forward just by what he did over the course of the season. I thought he was undervalued in terms of all, you know, all-star teams and all Big Ten and all that. I thought he was absolutely terrific. Was he overshadowed by Jaquan Brisker? Yes. Was his play overshadowed? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Well, and again, we thought of Brisker a year ago in that same way. He had a very good season. We weren't quite sure if he'd be coming back or not for one more year, but we felt really good about him coming back and what that would mean to the team. I feel that same way about Jair Brown. Question is, all right, Andy, who's going to be next to him?
So my gut instinct is it's Keaton Ellis. He has the experience on a Big Ten field. He's battled injuries and inconsistency along with those injuries, playing corner. Second year of a position switch. He's got some heat behind him. I'm 100% sure of that. But I just have a gut feeling that Keaton Ellis, in the second year of his position switch from corner to safety, he gets the first crack at being the other, quote-unquote, starting safety. Since you asked me, that is my two. That's my thought. I think he gets first crack.
But, as you alluded to, there's a couple guys ready to step in, aren't there?
But you better do your job and do it well, Keaton Ellis, if you get that first crack, because Jalen Reed and Zaki Wheatley, they are going to have a say in whether or not in the second position at safety or if anybody gets injured. They are ready. They are talented. They showed exactly what you would have wanted to see from them last year. I think they have, just like at the corner position, I think Penn State has four viable options at safety in terms of players that not only can play, but if injuries or something came up or inconsistencies, and if you were starting Jalen Reed and Zaki Wheatley, I don't think you would be in a bad spot if you're Penn State. You're not going to be maybe at the same level with Jair Brown on the field, but I don't think you're hurting.
And it's great to have that depth, and you're starting to see at that safety position, it just takes over. Next year, are we going to be talking about these youngsters the same way that we're now talking about Jair Brown this year, Jaquan Brisker a year ago? Andy, that is it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State-Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there!
In his book, Why Penn State?, author Greg Woodman takes readers on a trip back in time to Happy Valley in the 1980s, a unique era of gridiron success and rapid expansion that gave our university its modern identity. Whether you're traveling down memory lane or discovering old state's past for the first time, this compilation of rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews helps you explore the why behind We Are. Start your journey today. Order online at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results. Located right here in State College, we specialize in providing assistance with many third-party software suites. Our clients include doctor's offices, lawyers, construction companies, and even hairdressers. We provide help with their industry-specific software. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEK results.com. Or give us a call at 814-206-0000.